remember it was about 10 days after our wedding day, we moved into the house that we were going to be living in. And right after our wedding, we went on our honeymoon, and that was great. And we came back to our house, and we went into one of the guest rooms, and we stood there for a little bit. I don't know if Sarah even remembers this, but we stood there for a little bit, and we were overwhelmed. And let me tell you why we were overwhelmed 10 days after our wedding day, standing in this rent house, in this guest bedroom. It's because all around us were things like plates and dishes, ironing board, irons, all kinds of different things. They were just surrounding us. And Sarah and I did not buy a single one of those items that were on the floor of that guest room at that time. These are items that had come from loved ones as wedding gifts, and we got them from showers, and we had just taken them and put them in this room, and now we were back home, we were starting to get settled in, and we had this moment as we stood in this guest room looking at all of this, overwhelmed by the generosity, love, and care of so many people in our lives. Just hit us, and I remember just getting emotional in that moment, thinking, wow, we have people in our lives that are absolutely incredible and so unbelievably gracious. And it wasn't long after that that we thought, you know, to much as, or much as given, much as required. Have you had moments like that where you just think, oh my goodness, people are so incredibly gracious? And maybe thinking something like, how do people manage without a church family or a community or a buzzword right now, a tribe, a group of people to journey through life with, bearing each other's burdens? It's just a moment for us in that room of, wow, we are so blessed, and it's because of the people that God has put in our lives. Of course, we feel that way about all of you. While back, went to see the play Lion King, and not going to talk about the plot or anything, something much more simple about that incredible musical. If you've ever gone to see that, raise your hand. You've seen that. The thing that got me in this moment as I was watching this musical is thinking about all of the people that were involved in making this incredible display of music and artistry come to life in that way. And I just thought the teamwork, the way the choreography, the way that the movements were all so in sync, and it's as if the people were connected to one another as they were moving and dancing and making just this incredible play. Just watching people come together to accomplish a goal like that is so incredibly powerful. Turn with me for a moment to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we see what was happening with the early church. I mean, we're talking the early church. It's folks in Jerusalem that have come together because of this common belief, this common faith, this common commitment to Jesus Christ. And this is what we read beginning at verse 42 of Acts 2. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so here you have these folks that have come together in Christ, and they are enjoying this fellowship. And as we've talked about so many times, it's this koinonia, sharing life with one another. Of course, we say, as you can see, that's a part of who we are as the Leander Church of Christ. We share life together. We enjoy this same kind of fellowship in Christ that these early believers had. I was reading in 2 Timothy, and there's this little verse here that hit me, and I don't know why it hit me. Maybe it's because of what's going on in my life right now, but this is in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 5, and I've preached on this passage before, of course, talking about Timothy's grandparent and parent, but this is what struck me. So this is in 2 Timothy 1, beginning at verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Of course, this is Paul communicating with Timothy. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. And so it's that little phrase there, recalling your tears, that struck me this time as I was reading it. We see this connection with Paul and Timothy. Apparently, at one point, as they had to say farewell to one another, that they were moved to tears. That's the kind of bond that they had. They had a common mission. They had a common goal in sharing the gospel, living it out. Timothy was going to follow in Paul's footsteps, so to speak, in places like Ephesus, teaching the gospel. This common bond that they had was deep, so much so that when they said goodbye, they cried. Their emotions were moved to tears. And then, of course, in John chapter 13, Jesus says this, and we could look at other passages in which Jesus talks about the kind of community that we are to have in Him. But I just like to read a couple of verses here. John 13, beginning at verse 34, he says, "A new command I give you: love one another, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." It's going to be an impactful kind of love, kind of community that Christians are going to have. It's through the love that we have for each other that others, those who perhaps don't know Christ, will come to know Him, the love that we have. And so this sense of community, of relationships, it's woven throughout all of Scripture. God called community, even thinking back to Genesis chapter 12, He says it's not going to be just Abraham, but it's going to be Abraham and his descendants that are going to be a blessing to the world. And so you think all the way through Scripture, you've got Abraham and his descendants, the Israelites. You have Jesus calling together the 12. Then you have the church. It's all community. Maybe it's because of what's happening in my life right now that I'm thinking of the power of the church, the power of community. And I've been reflecting on the love and the support that you have shown us, but also the love and support that you have shown one another. It's making an impact. Talked about the food pantry this morning. One of the incredible things, if you go down there and witness what is taking place, is how everybody is working together to make that happen. And many of you know, some of you may not know, that really begins on Monday morning. Folks begin picking up, actually Saturday. I mean, it's happening all throughout the week. People are picking up food, going to places like Costco and Starbucks and other places to actually pick up the food. Of course, Capital Area Food Bank. So folks are coming together to make that happen. And one of the things that you see, and I love it, as you go through the line, especially when you get to the produce section and the meat section, you see the camaraderie of those that are volunteering down there. You see the love is evident. I think of what Jesus says in John 13. It's by your love for one another that they will know that you are my disciples. You see it at work. And so I want to say this just really quickly. How do we cultivate this sense of community? What are some principles, so to speak, that we can apply to ensure that this community continues to thrive? I'm going to just make a few points here this evening and we'll be done. The first is that we encourage one another, the way that we talk to one another. Think of Ephesians 4:29. Don't let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths. Of course, that is damaging to relationships to have this unwholesome language come out of our mouths. But instead, we are to talk in such a way that it will be beneficial to others. And so is the language that you are using, is it beneficial? Is it wholesome language? Is it language that is going to build somebody up? Is the language from Ephesians 4:29. What kind of language are you using? Of course, this doesn't just apply to the Christian community, to the church, but it applies in a marriage relationship. It applies with friends, with anybody. It could be in social media. What kind of language are you using? Is it going to build somebody up? Will it encourage somebody? There's this African greeting that I just love. I mentioned it before. It's so simple, yet so profound. Instead of a simple hello, the greeting that they have is "Sowa bona," and it means "I see you." And the response, I can't give you the African for it, but the response is essentially, it's good to be seen. I see you, and it's good to be seen. And so you can communicate that in one way or another, and that in itself can be an encouragement. I see you. I've learned this especially about young people. That is something that they desire. It's deeply embedded within them that they want to be seen, to have worth and to have value, to know that they are, at least in somebody else's eyes, of worth, valuable. And so you can encourage folks just simply in one way or another communicating, I see you. Secondly, it's from Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, bearing each other's burdens. That's another way that we can cultivate community. This idea, let's go ahead and look at this in Galatians 6, verses 1 through 3. I think this is really, really, really powerful. And I don't think it just means helping people move, although it could mean that. But Galatians 6, beginning in verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. So let's think context here. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. So it talks about restoring somebody. Now, to be able to do this, to carry each other's burdens in the way that Paul is talking about it in Galatians 6, means, first of all, that we know others' burdens. That takes connection in itself, doesn't it? That takes having the wherewithal to know what a person is struggling with, what's going on in their life. And so in order to bear each other's burdens, you need to be have a way of identifying others' burdens. And so hopefully we can be about sharing what's going on in our life. So that's the second, is this willingness to bear each other's burden. Now, we recognize that this takes energy, it takes strength, it takes love to be willing to do this. In general, I'll say it this way, in general, we have this disposition of being self-centered, focusing on all that we've got going on. And we may even think, well, I've got enough burdens of my own, let alone the ability to help carry somebody else's burdens. But this is where we hope we can rely on the strength of Christ at work within us as we submit to Him, that He will provide us the strength to share the load that others are carrying. And the idea is that we are carrying these loads together. When it comes to the church, I guess we could say it this way, there's no I in church, right? There is a you, but there's no I in church. And so we are walking on this journey together. And then third is speaking the truth in love. And I think we see this in play in Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2. That have the willingness, the strength, that I think even the courage to be able to say, I think what you're doing right now is wrong. Of course, it needs to be done tactfully, thoughtfully, and gracefully. But cultivating this sense of community that we're after means that we have the willingness to actually speak the truth in love. So I love, and this is the part of the story of Esther that we don't reflect on much, but Esther didn't come up with the idea that she needed to speak up on behalf of God's people to the king. Where did that idea come from? It was Mordecai, wasn't it? Mordecai spoke a truth into Esther's life. And then from there, she was able to do something incredibly courageous and brave. And so you could go like this as we think about speaking the truth in love. One is, who's your Mordecai? Who's someone that will speak the truth into your life, encouraging you to be courageous or do the right thing? Or what person in your life needs you to be the Mordecai? You can be the Mordecai for somebody. You can do this. For such a time as this is how Mordecai said it, right? The time is now for you to step up and to do this. Or perhaps you need to rethink what you're doing. Of course, to be able to speak this kind of language into somebody's life means that there needs to be a great amount of grace and trust. Which brings us to the fourth point. Pursue transparency. By transparency, I mean have this willingness to be open with each other. I love this language. Of course, it's talking about the first marriage, if you will, but I think it's important for all relationships. You go over to Genesis chapter 2, you've got this one sentence about Adam and Eve that I think applies to all relationships, or ought to apply to all relationships. And so you've got, well, I'll start at verse 21. This is Genesis chapter 2. Start verse 21, Genesis 2. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs, and there closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. That is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh." Okay, again, this is talking about Adam and Eve. And then it says this in verse 25, "Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." So in this relationship. And of course, this is before the fall that we'd read about in Genesis chapter 3. In this relationship, it says that they were naked and felt no shame. Now, I think that's in a physical sense, but I also think that it's in a relational or even a spiritual sense. They were open to one another. A word that we hear a lot nowadays is they were vulnerable toward each other. And as they were open and vulnerable to each other, there was no shame in the relationship. And so I think this presents an ideal, if you will, that is worth pursuing even in the church, in the community of faith. That, now, don't, let's not push this too far. This could get weird. But we can be naked with one another. We can be open and vulnerable with one another and know that we will be received with grace and not with anything that would bring shame on our lives. That's kind of the ideal that we're shooting for. We can be open with one another and know that we will be received with grace and love and not in a way that would pile the shame onto our life. And the deal is that this truth, what we see in Scripture, this willingness to be open and vulnerable with one another, it's actually what the world craves in many ways. To know, I'm telling you, in working with young people, to know that I can be seen, I can be loved, and I can be received in a way that will place worth and value on my life. And we recognize that all people have been made in the image of God. And for that alone, one should be treated with dignity. And then we add to that then in the church the truth that is found in Jesus Christ, that one's salvation and hope are found in Christ. One can be received by God through Christ, which is an act of grace and mercy. And so it reminds me of what Jesus says in John 13, 34 and 35. They'll know that you are my disciples by your love. That kind of love, I mean, it gets traction in the world. It is attractive to the world. It's what folks are seeking. And this kind of love, it's not just soft, cozy, rainbows and butterflies. This is tough love that we're talking about. It's a love that speaks the truth, saying there is a better way to live. There is a higher calling that we have received, but it all starts with love. Love is the environment, so to speak, in which we cultivate this kind of community. And so my challenge for you this evening, it's based on these four principles here that I've shared with you. The first is to encourage somebody this week. The second is to ask God for ways in which you can bear the burdens of others. Now, be careful when you ask that. I don't know what all that's going to mean or what doors God is going to open up to you. But maybe just ask God, God, help me to be open to the burdens of others. And then third is to have at least the willingness to speak the truth in love, which is challenging, yes, but it's necessary as we seek to be the community of faith that is continuing to grow in our love for God, to continue to mature. And then pursue transparency. Again, God, ask me, or God, give me the strength. Ask God, give me the strength to allow me to be open and transparent with others. It's like what Paul said, again, going back to Timothy, the chief sinner. It's only by the grace of God that I have salvation. All of us ought to be able to say that. It's by the grace of God that I am saved. Not by any great works that I have done, but by the grace of God that I am saved. I am in no position to judge or to look down my nose at somebody else. It's by the grace of God that I am saved. So pursue those things this week as we strive as a church family to cultivate this kind of community that we see in Scripture. If there's anybody here this evening that is in need of the prayers of the church family, speaking of being open with one another, perhaps tonight you'd like to share what's on your heart. We'd be glad to pray with you. Maybe you have not yet been immersed into Christ and immersed into the truth that you can have this kind of community. We'd love to watch you be baptized this evening if you need that. So whatever need you have, you can come forward now as we stand and continue to worship our God.